Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
Okay, one, that was weird, and two, after this episode, I'm quite glad to not have children.
Oh,
because it seems like a lot of work.
Well, it is. Well, undoubtedly, if you're a good parent, it certainly is tons of work. So that's kind of part of the deal.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Before we get going, again, remind you guys, please, if you have yet to review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us, we'd really appreciate that. You know, subscribe to us, review us, all that stuff gets more people pay attention to the show, gets us more listeners. We definitely like that, and we definitely appreciate it. This week's episode, I Married Marge, episode 8, F10, originally aired December 26th, 1991, written by Jeff Martin, directed by Jeffrey Lynch. Let's see, finished 27th the ratings for the week, Nielsen rating 11.9, approximately 11 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week. Only 27th in the week.
That's so weird. I just
this is like amazing episode, and it's 27th. Chalkboard gag is, I will not torment the emotionally frail.
Which is a pretty good idea. You never know when they're going to snap.
But who else are you going to target, Matt?
I'm going to go with bullies. Go after the bullies. They might also be the emotionally frail, but they deserve it.
Okay. I can get behind that. The couch gag, the family cartwheels onto the couch, and does a little, like, ta-da. But Maggie needs a little help. She gets pulled, and she eventually joins the family. It's very cute. I like it. It's really enjoyable. Probably my favorite since the Space Mutant. Space Mutant is a favorite. Julie Kavner won an Emmy for this episode, which
well deserved.
Yes, he does an amazing job. Everyone does. This is we're already foreshadowing. This is a really good episode. Like, it's really good. Pull like a jillion clips for it. Actually, we're gonna start off with a clip where we find out Marge and Homer are not sure. Maybe Marge is pregnant.
Uncle Bill's home pregnancy test. Homer, shouldn't we have gone with a better-known brand?
But Marge, this one came with a free corncob pipe.
Okay, let's see. Ahoy, mateys. If the water turns blue, a baby for you. If purple ye see, no baby thar be.
Well, what color is it, blue or purple?
Pink.
No!
If he test should fail, to a doctor set sail.
Fantastic.
Man, it's so great. Barnacle Bill's pregnancy test with a corncob pipe. Marge, they're unsure if Marge is pregnant. There's signs point to yes, but the pregnancy test is inconclusive, mainly because it probably came packaged with a corncob pipe. And Marge goes to see Dr. Hibbert. Homer is left at home being nervous. The kids are wondering what's up, and they find out that maybe Marge is pregnant. And Homer takes this opportunity to tell them the story of how Bart came about. You know, what their life was like around that. And it right on the heels, it's like tied right directly to that flashback in The Way We Was, where we see them in Dr. Hibbert's office getting told that they're pregnant with Bart. The kids do quickly, they quickly leave Homer alone telling a story to Maggie. But most of this episode is in the near 1980, as Homer tells it. And we get some Super Tramp segue into the flashback. Homer's working at a fun center. He works in the mini golf section, tilting windmills, which that's hilarious.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Him and Marge are dating still. Obviously, Marge's family still doesn't like him.
Shocking.
And Marge actually kind of, they're in line to see The Empire Strikes Back. And Marge is curious about what Homer thinks about his future.
Homer, do you ever think about the future?
You mean like, will apes be our masters?
Fantastic.
So,
fantastic.
All the writing in this episode is super tight. Like, there's not a line wasted. Every single thing is like a joke and hilarious and awesome. And of course, Marge is not asking about if apes will be our masters. She's asking Homer, you know, eventually wants to work somewhere that's not the mini golf place. I think it's this time he first floats the idea that he'll work at the power plant.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's just kind of
because
tossed.
He was offered it back in what was it called?
In the way we was. Yeah, he gets, you know, the brochure from the power plant. When they are exiting the movie theater after they've seen it, after Homer has spoiled the ending for everyone in line, it's the worst. Homer makes a really great comment to Marge.
Marge, you're as pretty as Princess Leia and as smart as Yoda.
Oh, Homer.
Another, it's just a great little sweet thing. And like, I've pulled several of these little tiny lines because I think it really adds such great character to the episode and really gives it such great context about their relationship. And they're having like a lovely night out, and they're driving home, and a song's on the radio, and they're singing to it. And the song is "You Light Up My Life" by Debbie Boone. It's a really sweet moment. But they tack on a joke at the end, which I really like.
Our song.
I bet the guy she was singing that about was real happy.
Actually, she was singing about God.
Oh, well, he's always happy. No, wait, he's always mad.
He's always bad.
Homer musing on the nature of God is great. But they're, you know, they've had a really lovely, they saw a movie, and they end up at the mini golf place, which I don't know how many nights they end up there, but they can't go home because they don't have anywhere to live. They both still live with their parents. And they end up inside the castle at the mini golf place, drinking champagne, very classy, and they end up having some fun, some sexy times. But I love the guy outside who gets a hole in one and is celebrating, and all the sirens are going off while they're doing it. It's so great.
Lights everything.
Yeah, and this
that's,
is
that's not a metaphor for anything, right?
Not a metaphor at all. They come back to this much later on in the series in what's the name of the episode, Matt, where they get all adventurous?
Oh, Natural Born Kissers.
Natural Born Kissers. They come back to the mini golf place. But Marge is working, which I think this is delightful. She's working as a roller waitress at a place called Burgers Burgers,
which is fantastic.
Nice, such a lot of character in all the setting here. And she's calling Homer and says, like, yeah, I might be pregnant. We should see Dr. Hibbert. They go to see Dr. Hibbert, and he hands Marge. He informs him that she's pregnant, hands her a pamphlet.
So you've ruined your life.
Another line.
Oh, the pamphlets in this show.
The Great Simpsons pamphlets. Homer screams a doe for the ages, and we cut to a guy down the hall in like a full body cast going, that poor guy. we get Abe advising Homer, marry this girl because she's the best you're ever going to do. You're never going to get better than her. And then he's not wrong at all. And then we get this epic proposal scene. Like, unbelievable. And here it is. It's so great. I love it. I love it!
Marge, there's something I want to ask you, but I'm afraid, because if you say no, it'll destroy me and make me a criminal.
Well, I haven't said no to you lately, have I?
Marge, damn it, where's that card?
What card?
Oh, I wrote down what I was going to say in a card. Stupid thing must have fallen out of my pocket.
Is this it?
What's it say?
Marge, from the first moment I saw you, I never wanted to be with anyone else. I don't have much to offer you except all my love. Will you marry me?
That's the card. Give it here.
Oh, Homer, this is the most beautiful moment of my life.
So, will you marry me?
Yes!
Woohoo! Woohoo!
Yeah! She's gonna marry me! In your face, everybody!
Woohoo! Oh, such a good scene.
I just... that seems a little too complex for Homer to have written, but it is so perfect, and I'm sure it's exactly what he was thinking. I feel like he got a friend to write that, and just like explained how he felt, and someone else wrote that down for him, but it is 100% their relationship in a nutshell.
And you can't hear it, but the entire scene is his butt in her face. He's rooting around in the back of the car, his butt in her face, and she finds the card and reads it and agrees to marry him with his butt hanging over the edge. It's so much character there. Oh, it's touching and funny. Oh, it's like I had completely forgot about that scene. I can't believe I forgot about it, because I might have answered that in one of our previous answers. I might have used that one instead, but oh, it's so good. And with Homer celebrating, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer and Marge talking about baby names. They're actually doing this while they're shopping for an engagement ring for Marge. So this has actually got a couple hilarious lines in it.
Homer, I've been thinking, if the baby's a boy, what do you think of the name Larry?
Marge, we can't do that. All the kids will call him Larry Fairy.
Well, how about Louie?
We'll call him Screwy Louie.
Bob?
Slob.
Luke?
Puke.
Marcus?
Mucus.
What about Bart?
Let's see. Bart, cart, dart, eart. Nope, can't see any problem with that.
And of course, he completely, he's obviously going through the alphabet and just misses fart entirely.
Yeah, I was going to say, no. But I love the, like, that pregnant pause right after he says, no problem with that. It's so perfect. Oh,
it's so wonderful, because obviously Homer thinks things through to an extent, but, probably not as much as he should.
Probably not.
But once they've decided on Bart's name, Homer says, oh, I love this ring. I'll take that one. And the guy asks him, how are you going to pay? And Homer says, I don't know. Which is a fantastic question and answer right there.
Yeah.
That sums up Homer's life, quite honestly. So once they have Marge's ring, which obviously Homer paid for on credit, they go to Shotgun Pete's Wedding Chapel, which is just the most wonderful name. And it looks like a really classy joint. You've got the guy at the front who gets through weddings as fast as possible, the card where the 10th wedding is free. Yeah. And of course, Homer's convinced this marriage is forever. But apparently the nice lady has heard that before. And when it comes up for their time, they have the best wedding music ever. I swear I thought the girl from Ipanema was going to come out of that. But
I love that the MIDI wedding music. It's the best. Just over the state line and then Shotgun Pete's. It's the best. I love it.
Just over the state line. Obviously, there's
the giant neon light outside. It's great.
And there's no waiting period here for some reason. So, this is probably Vegas, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I think that's the implication. They're in Nevada.
Yeah. Which means, obviously, they either drove really far or they're in a state that borders Nevada. So if you're trying to figure out where they live, that's a key item right there.
Fool's errand, Matt. Fool's errand.
Hey, it gives certain people a meaning to their lives. So, feel free to let them work as hard as they want to.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll try not to take the wind out of their sails.
And Marge, of course, notices the stains on the ceiling, because that's the kind of girl she is. How they got stains on the ceiling, we're not going to ask. We're going to be classy like that. But the guy who does their wedding is he's very efficient, we'll say. They each say their names. They say, I do. Bam. They are married.
They don't call people Shotgun Pete for their verisimilitude? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Verisimilitude, yes. That is correct. It's called Shotgun for a reason, because I'm sure most people that show up there have a shotgun somewhere in the wedding party. So. Yeah,
there you go.
But they get married, and we see them that night on their wedding night on the couches in the Bouvier living room, because apparently that's where they're going to live now. When we're moved in with them, which I don't understand. It's like, he lives with Grandpa, so obviously there's plenty of room in that house, but I guess the Simpsons can't really afford, food and stuff, so...
I don't know.
I guess they're living with the Bouviers instead, which is not surprising. We then see Marge, of course, going through all of their bills and everything, saying, I don't know how we're going to afford all this stuff. And Homer, being Homer, has already buying things like cribs and baby monitors, which I'm sure in 1980 were a big new thing.
Baby to Marge.
Wah.
He says over, doesn't he? Doesn't he say over?
I believe he says over,
He says over. Baby to Marge. Wah, over.
Basically... Marge is very correctly concerned for their finances, and Homer says, well, maybe I'll get a job at the nuclear power plant. They probably pay good money. And, of course, he goes there to interview on the next day, and he sees, oh, no, it's Mr. Smithers with a lot more hair and a different hairstyle, but looking pretty much the same. And apparently they have two openings, and It's Homer and two other guys, one of whom happens to be an old friend of Smithers, and another one who went to the same fraternity as Smithers and the other guy, but in Alabama. So poor Homer he's at a bit of a loss. He's behind the eight ball here. And of course, during the interview, things don't go much better for Homer, especially when he's asked what his flaws are.
Well, it takes me a long time to learn anything. I'm kind of a goofball.
Okay, that'll do.
Little stuff starts disappearing from the workplace.
That's enough.
So apparently Homer has never taken a class where he learns how to interview, because all of those are no-nos. You don't answer that question honestly.
Don't admit never, to stealing. Don't tell you steal from the company. That's not a good answer.
Don't tell them to steal. Don't tell them you're stupid. Just, you know, try and make something up that sounds good. But then we cut to Marge getting an ultrasound of Bart, who apparently is mooning them in the womb because Bart's starting out early. Luckily, you don't see Bart's twin in the womb, which is kind of weird, but hey, you know.
That's an alternate timeline, Matt. That's alternate universe.
Oh, that's right. Alternate universe. My bad. What was his name again?
Hugo.
Hugo, that's right, of course. Hugo in the attic.
But Hugo was the good one.
Yeah, that's right. Hugo was the good one. Bart's the evil one. That's why he's doing the mooning.
Don't look so surprised.
Of course, Homer continues on with his interview. And Smithers says, hypothetically, there's a problem with the reactor, which apparently Homer doesn't know what that means and immediately runs out screaming because he thinks that there actually is a problem with the reactor. So he definitely does not get that job. But Homer, you know, he's a hardworking kind of fella. He continues to try hard. He goes to work making some candles, where he makes a really crappy candle and gets fired, which that seems really mean. It's like, hey, it's his first day. It's his first candle. He gets fired immediately. That's pretty harsh.
Who knows? Maybe that was like his second week in, and, you know, that was his first time alone handling the candle gig, and it didn't work out. And then he got punished.
Maybe. Then he tries to sell knives door to door and accidentally cuts an old woman up. You know, it's happened to the best of us. You want to sell somebody a knife. You try to get them to shake hands with a knife, and they shake hands with a sharp end. People are dumb like that. He then works as a dummy at an attack dog training school, which is fantastic. I really hope they don't actually train them like that when there's like 80 dogs on top of Homer all at once trying to rip him apart.
I'm fairly certain they do it one at a time, but it's not as interesting.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's funnier this way. And throughout all of this, we have the 9 to 5 song playing in the background. Who does that song, Robbie?
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, that's right.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It works so well. Again, this, like, I think that's another thing that is like what makes these seasons so good, is that they just know perfectly what songs to choose, what the sound design. It just works so great.
They really do. I think we'll talk about this later, but I feel like that's something that's missing in a lot of the newer seasons. The music choices seem to be more sparse. But Homer's final attempt is a get-rich-quick scheme with a slick fella who's telling them all, this is not a pyramid scheme, this is a trapezoid. So, you know, there's a top level where you're not going to get any more rich, and you'll get, like, you'll triple your money within a few hours. I guess.
I like that they chose the shape trapezoid because it has trap in the title. It's brilliant. It's great.
Oh, it's fantastic. Of course, when the cops drive by, this gentleman decides to jump out the window rather than telling them the secret of his success.
Is this the first time that we've seen this? The first time someone has done the as I thought Homer, I mixed it up where I thought Homer was going to do that earlier, but it happens here instead, where we see someone freak out and jump through a glass window.
I don't remember that happening before.
Me neither, but I remember multiple times the PTA disbands happens in that. I remember distinctly. I think they play with the trope several times.
They do several a lot. Yeah, there's one with a 50-foot woman will devour us all, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think we've seen that yet.
No, we haven't.
No. But unfortunately, none of these work out for poor Homer, and he is still without a decent job. And the repo man, who says that repossessing things is the saddest part of his job, I'm pretty sure it's the only part of his job, that and paperwork.
Where does he work? What is the name of his company, Matt?
I did not actually catch that. That's probably a visual gag.
Repo Depot.
Oh, yes, the Repo Depot. Oh,
that's great.
Fantastic gag. And of course, he takes the crib, the baby monitor, and unfortunately, poor Marge's ring. And she just dissolves into tears at the thought of losing the ring, but she gives it up without, you know, much of a fuss, besides not trying to make it hard on the guy. And of course, this actually hits Homer really, really hard. And in a ongoing tradition, Homer's going to end the second act really sad, but he does pen a beautiful letter to Marge before he leaves.
Dear Marge, by the time you read this, I will be gone. You deserve all the finest things in the world, and although I can give them to you, they will be repossessed and I will be hunted down like a dog. Also, it has become clear that your family doesn't want me here.
Shut up with that pen scratching down there.
I will send you every cent I earn for the baby, but you will not see me again until I am a man.
Oh. So sad.
Yeah, once again, that I think is actually more believable in what Homer would think or say than his marriage proposal, but it's heartbreaking how good of a guy Homer really is deep down, and that's just, well, we fade to black.
4 episodes in a row, Homer is sad at ending the second act. We're gonna keep track. I don't think our next episode will have it though. So the records, it's Radio Bard, I believe. So I don't.
Oh
think
yeah, yeah.
No, there's no not much Homer sadness in that one. When we come back, Homer has found a job at the Gulp and Blow, Gulp N Blow. That the middle initial is an N. There's no and in there. He is disgusting. Patty and Selma spot him there, and they're instantly disgusted from their food because he helped prepare it. At the same time, Marge is back at the Bouvier household, you know, upset, worried about Homer. She gets an envelope in the mail with some loose cash and a note from Homer saying he loves her. All very sad, all very upsetting. But Marge eventually is staying up late, like looking out for Homer. She thinks maybe, you know, she keeps staying up hoping that he'll show up, you know, he'll come home one night. And let's see, who is it? Selma eventually get Patty is kind of like pressuring Selma not to tell Marge, but eventually it's just too much and Selma eventually spills the beans.
Marge, what are you doing up? You need your rest, dear. I heard a noise outside and thought it might be Homer. What the hell, Marge? I've got 2.5 words for you. Gulp and blow.
Okay, there is so much fantastic about this right there. One, you see really how much Patty and Selma love Marge. I mean,
well, Selma.
Patty and Selma kind of, well, yeah, but I mean, like, in this episode in general, you see, they kind of get a bad rap because Homer is pretty much the protagonist of the series, and you see him conflicting with Patty and Selma all the time, but I feel like their main issue is they want what's best for Marge. You see it over and over again, especially in these flashback episodes, how much Patty and Selma love their little sister. And in this case, Selma wants her Marge to be happy, whereas I think Patty wants what's better for Marge, which, to be fair, half a dozen of one, six of the other. But I also love the gag, 2.5 words.
It's 2.5 words, gulp and blow. Marge goes to Gulp and Blow and goes to the drive-thru. Homer is working the drive-thru at the time, and she confronts him in a really, really touching scene.
Holy cow, you're as big as a house!
Homer, come home with me!
No, Marge, I just can't. I mean, look at me. I'm a trainee. They won't even tell me what's in the secret sauce, and I can't buy you a decent wedding ring.
Any ring is fine as long as it's from you.
Marge, poor Vu. Aww.
Would you mind if I took it off now? The oil is burning my finger.
Oh, sure.
I literally can't even. Sorry, I've got something in my eye.
Homer, if the context clues aren't enough, Homer has given her an onion ring for her wedding ring, which Homer then, when she takes it off, he eats it. Marge, as she's leaving, says, she again tells him, please come home. And Homer is filled with kind of like purpose and determination. He rips off his uniform for Gulp and Blow, and he actually has a shirt on beneath it that says, I shot JR, which is kind of a little. I don't. It's not. I guess a foreshadowing of Who Shot Mr. Burns, because it's a direct parody of that plot line from Dallas. So it's, I think it's really,
that's true. But wasn't that plot line in Dallas further along? I thought that happened in like the mid '80s. That plot line, and this is supposed to take place in 1980. Right?
It happened in the end of 1980. There was some hubbub about that on the news groups they wiggled it in. I think they squeezed it in. It's close enough that you don't have to suspend disbelief too much. But I think it's interesting that we see that early on in the show, and then much later we get the Who Shot Mr. Burns two-parter. Homer marches into the plant and tells Mr. Burns basically to hire him.
You the boss?
Yes.
I'll call security, sir.
Well, listen to me, Mr. Big Shot. If you're looking for the kind of employee who takes abuse and never sticks up for himself, I'm your man. You can treat me like dirt, and I'll still kiss your butt and call it ice cream. And if you don't like it, I can change.
Hold the phone, Smithers. I like your attitude. Feisty yet spineless.
Sir, this man not only failed the aptitude test, he got trapped in a closet on his way out.
I don't care. I haven't been this impressed since I first laid eyes on a young bootlick named Waylon Smithers.
You mean?
Welcome aboard, son.
I got the job. I got the job! Woohoo! Only in America could I get a job.
best employee ever right there.
Yeah, and that is the first time we hear Smithers' first name. First time we hear Waylon.
Yep.
He's only Smithers so up until that point. And that is, again, that's made fun of later, much later on in the series with Homer only able to survive in America.
Waylon.
Yeah. Homer is overjoyed that he's got a job, and he rushes back to the BVA's only to find that Marge has gone into labor and that she's at the hospital. He gets there, barges in, you know, obviously, because he's very, you know, concerned about her and excited and all that, you know, the mixture of emotion. And Patty and Selma kind of get up in his face, and he puts him right back down.
No, you listen. This is my wife, and this is my kid, and I'm paying for this delivery. So if you want to stay, you better give me some respect.
Which, it's really, like, you've seen him kind of get browbeaten by them the entire episode. And obviously we're rooting for him. Finally, he stands up for himself, and it's great. It's so much fun. So good. Homer with confidence. I think we come back to that again and again.
It's true. Homer with confidence can do pretty much anything. And even Patty and Selma consistently back down as soon as he shows the tiniest bit of backbones. Yeah. It's kind of funny that they go back and forth about that through the whole series.
And Marge, at that point, she learns that he's got a job. They're happy, but then is going into the final throes of labor. She's delivering Bart. Dr. Hibbert's there. We have a small confrontation with Homer about who's delivering the baby. But Dr. Hibbert eventually does deliver the baby. And Bart pops out. Little tiny baby Bart, who's adorable. But he is still, even that young, he's still Bart. The Bart we know.
Homie, isn't he beautiful?
Hey, as long as he's got eight fingers and eight toes, he's fine by me. Oh, Bart, daddy's little angel. Ah! Why, you little? He did that on purpose.
How could he? He's only 10 minutes old.
And Bart has this, like, look of blind innocence on his face, even though he just lit Homer's tie on fire. It's great. It's amazing. And at that point, we kind of end the episode with coming back to the present. Homer, all the kids are now there, and he's like, yeah, and it's one of the best moments of my life, and I've got blessed twice more. And at that point, Marge comes home, announces that she's not pregnant, and they do a jumping high five to end the episode.
Yep, that's exactly what you do. And when you find out you're not pregnant, you get as happy as can possibly be.
Jumping high fives, it's the best. So good. Oh my lord, this is a great episode, Matt. It's great.
It is fantastic. I mean, it just blows away like all the episodes we've seen recently. It is so fantastic. It's everything that is wonderful about it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's the writing is tight. The story is tight. Like every single thing is working they're doing the flashbacks. They're cutting back to the present as the framing mechanism. The dialogue, every single thing is like hint of jumping between humor and like kind of heartwarming stuff and relationship stuff and character stuff. And the sound design is great. And their designs of the slightly more aged, the young 20s Homer and Marge, a really solid Homer with slightly less hair. Marge's hair is still a little bit smaller than her is, you know, a half height or so. Oh, so much good stuff about this one. But will it challenge Lisa's substitute for number one?
Ooh.
Questions we will answer at the end of the episode. Next up, I want to remind you guys, please keep sending in my favorite episode submissions. Simply write us an email at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. My favorite episode is the title, and your favorite episode and why it's your favorite. And we'll read it when we get to that episode. Keep sending them in. We're getting them in. Trickle. I'd like to see more, obviously, of course. But we got a couple coming up very soon. Always excited to read them. Comments from the news group. It is back. The news group has been brought back up online. Whoever was sick got better and started making the internet work again. I can find this is alt.tv.simpsons. If you guys don't know, it's an old news group, still runs to this day. They recently had a post honoring Leonard Nimoy. Rest in peace. I know, it's sad. You can find it on Google Groups. Google it, you'll find it. You can search through all the archives. Go as far back as you like. Let's see. I got a couple. Most of it was about continuity and what's canon. Like so many. There's one gentleman who is very upset there was non-canonical things, things that differed from other previous records in the show. Everyone else is like, what does it really matter? But, and about, you know, the new timeline, because it's moved forward a year, like it's 1980, but it's, you know, it's all questions about that. I did find one really interesting thing that reminded me of the Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie episode, which is, I'm going to read it because I think it's hilarious how nerdy it is. I've just been playing the PC Simpsons game Bart versus Space Mutants, but I am unable to get out of level 1. I can remove all but 5 of the purple goals, namely the 4 plant pots on the upper window ledges and the caged purple animal in the pet shop. I found uses for all the objects I can buy except the whistle and magnet. Any clues or outright help would be appreciated.
Oh, 90s adventure games.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, here's a bunch of crap, and now just click it and on everything and see if it works. Oh,
obviously, the key to this one was to throw the magnet at the pot where it would stick to a hidden piece of metal. Then you whistle near the animal and the animal escapes and knocks down the final item. Obviously. I mean, come on.
Of course. But
I'm totally kidding. I've never played that game.
No, neither have I. But it sounds close enough. It probably is right, frankly. I mean, the craziness. Okay. Let's see. Matt. You know what time it is, right? It is time for the segment that is the talk of the nation, the talk of water coolers, of people on the street. You know, I can't even walk down the sidewalk without people just, like, running up to me and shouting trivia questions at me from The Simpsons. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
That's true. My super-duper secret social media accounts are being inundated with questions from the few people that know about them.
The super-duper secret ones. Yes, they're out there, folks. Find them! Actually, you won't find them. It's impossible.
You won't.
But this week, we got a suggestion for a theme from Brady. Brady, Brady on Twitter. His last name's hard to say, but Brady, you know who you are. Thank you very much for this theme. This theme this week is nuclear plant related things. Anything for people or things related to the nuclear plant. I haven't set up the segment correctly, I guess, Matt. Matt and I will each bring 3 questions to the table, 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard, and challenge each other, try and stump one another, see how well we do. I will go first. Matt, are you ready?
I am ready.
In Last Exit to Springfield, what does Burns remove from the union agreement that ultimately leads to a strike?
I believe it is their dental plan.
Dental plan. Dental plan.
Lisa needs bracers.
Bracers. You're correct.
Braces, bracers, whatever.
Bracers? Skyrim? Are we playing Skyrim? We got to have something to guard against the skeleton guys? Okay.
Exactly.
Hit me with the easy question, Matt.
All right. Your easy question is, what sector at the power plant does Homer work in?
7G.
That is correct. The sector Siebengruben.
Siebengruben, yep.
All right. Hit me.
In Duffless, what Bible verse does Homer quote to kill the giant spider guarding his escape?
Oh, God. Thou shalt not... Aw, screw it.
That's right. Yeah, it's a trick question. He throws a rock at it. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's right. The rock throwing Bible verse, the best one.
Yeah. I shall not. I'll screw it. You are correct, Matt. Come on, give me a medium. What's a medium?
All right, this one's pretty easy. Homer falls in love with his coworker Mindy Simmons. What famous actress was the voice of Mindy?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
That is correct. And apparently some people had a lot of problems with her on that episode, but I thought she did a great job.
I had no problem with her. I thought she did a great job, too. Well, we're going to get there. The episode's coming up, so we can talk about it then. All right, Matt, you ready for a hard one?
I'm ready.
Again, this is I love these questions, this type of questions. So here we go. Name five people who have worked for the power plant for only one episode. At least five. There are more than five, but I'd say at least five. And I don't mean they necessarily have worked longer than that, but are only shown in one episode. Make it clear.
Let's see. There's Marge.
Correct.
There's Mindy.
Correct.
There's Frank Grimes.
There's three. Those are the easy three. I came up with those quick, but the other ones are harder.
Really? Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure there's Steve Sachs, Mike Socha, Daryl Strawberry.
Not counting.
Oh, what?
Okay. I'll give you credit for those answers, but bonus points if you can exclude the baseball teams.
Oh, nuts. Let's see. Who else was there? There was, what the heck was that guy's name? There was Pedro, I believe he was the Hispanic gentleman who Mr. Burns offered to pay a shining quarter to.
Okay, I'll give you credit for that one. That's four.
All right, one more. Who can I think of? I'm sure there's been lots more in recent seasons, but I haven't paid as much attention to those.
There's other ones, and when I say them, you're gonna hate yourself because they're pretty.
I am.
There's one that's the most obvious one that you don't think about, but it's true.
Only one episode, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not going to waste time. You got me. What's the last one?
Okay. I was hoping you'd forget about the softball team, but you named off those guys do count, so you got it right. And the other ones that aren't from Homer at the Bat, Larry Burns, he worked at the plant.
Oh, that's right.
There's both Tibor and Zootroy.
Yes. Blame the guy who can't speak English.
Along with Pedro, one of the multitude of foreign guys apparently who don't speak English. Stuart Duck, if you remember.
Oh, Stuart.
You remember Stuart Duck? There's also Canary Burns, the unofficial owner of the plant.
Oh, that's right, Canary M. Burns.
That's right. There's other ones too. There's a long list of them. I just took the ones that are the most immediately recognizable.
Fair enough.
Okay. I'm ready, Matt. Give me a hard one. See if I can come up with it. I usually miss the hard one.
Actually, to be honest, I wanted to use this particular one in that answer, but you'll see in a second. In the episode Homer's Night Out, who was Homer's former assistant, now supervisor? Whose bachelor party attends?
Oh, I saw that name too, but I didn't include it because I couldn't. It wasn't catchy. It was very forgettable, and I think I've forgotten it. whose bachelor party is it? I can't remember.
It was Eugene Fisk.
Just
remember, he's the wimpy version of the Kingpin.
That's true. He is. I've got a couple questions from our listeners, Matt.
Ooh, hit me.
I think you'll get one. I think you're not going to get the second one. But maybe you can prove me wrong. First one from Chris. This also has a bonus segment to it. In the episode King Size Homer, what movie does disabled Homer go to watch in the theater? And for bonus points, what does the theater manager offer him as a treat for not being able to accommodate a man of his carriage?
I believe it is Look Who's Oinking, and he offers him a garbage bag full of popcorn.
Let's go to the judges. Because it's close.
Or is it Look Who's Honking?
I gotta go to the judges. Let's see.
Okay, hold on. Oh, no, no, sorry. It's honk if you're horny. That's what it was.
There you go, man.
Oh, sorry. Look who's honky was from a different episode. My bad. Honk if you're horny.
Honk if you're horny. What treat was it, man?
I believe it was a garbage bag full of popcorn.
It was. You're correct.
Yeah.
That was close. That was a close one. Now, this is a tricky one. This is a tricky one. This is Rob, a.k.a. Rattrap 007. What is Lisa's email address according to The President Wore Pearls?
According to what?
The episode The President Wore Pearls.
President Wore Pearls. Oh, God.
It's a hard one. This is tough.
It is a hard one. I'm trying to remember the audio in my head, and it's hard. I'm never going to get it. Tell me.
It is smartgirl63@yahoo.com.
Of course.
They probably got me there. They had to get an actual email address, so they probably couldn't get first pick on Smart Girl.
I wonder if 63 is like Yeardley Smith's birth year or something.
Let's find out. Nope, 64.
Aww. Close though. Maybe they just guessed and were like,
It's close, but again, that was good. I like that one. I like that. We got a couple themes lined up. Keep sending them in. Keep sending in trivia questions. I will keep reading them on the show. I'm winnowing down this list. We still have a few left to read, but of course I'd like more. You can send them to our Twitter, which is @SimpsonsShowPod on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook, follow us. It's facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod or email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, love to hear from you guys. You guys, we have a lot of engaged, great listeners. I'd love to hear it from you guys. Keep sending trivia questions and themes. Can't have enough of them. Oh, Matt, you know what time it is, right?
Time to run away?
No, it is time once again for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a very, very good episode, Matt.
It really is. I mean, the obvious comparison is to
The Way We Was.
The Way We Was.
And it's better.
Yeah, but
I'm saying it.
It's better.
I'm saying it's better.
It definitely is. You're absolutely right. I think it actually beats Bart Gets an F. I don't think it beats Lisa's Substitute, to be quite honest, but it is so close. It's just every little thing in the episode means something. There's not a wasted word or look or frame alone. There, none of it is wasted. All of it moves you toward the goal of the history of Homer and Marge. And just like you said, the sound design in this episode is fantastic. Their character models are great. I can't really find anything wrong with this except to say that Lisa's Substitute made me cry more.
Yeah, it's definitely better than The Way We Was. I have to say it's better than Bart Gets an F. I agree with you. I don't think it's better than Lisa's Substitute. I think
it's close though.
It's very close. It made me think about it for a second. And that's way closer than anything else has been. None of these other episodes, I'm like, no, there's no chance it's better. But this is amazing. I had forgotten how good this episode was. It's like that proposal alone, like that's up there as one of the best scenes in Simpsons history. It's so good. So new number two, so close, creeping up on Lisa's Substitute. Good competition. I like it. So now we have a new number two. We have I Married Marge right behind Lisa's Substitute, right in front of Bart Gets an F. Still last place, number 47 now. Or 48, no, 47, I was right the first time, I don't trust myself. 47, Homer's Odyssey. Eventually, something will something will conquer the bottom of the list. And Homer's Odyssey,
I don't know, if we're not counting clip shows, it's going to be a long time.
That's true, but I think something, we're not even a tenth of the way through the show, Matt. What do you think about that?
That's true, but I don't really see any bad episodes that are like really that bad coming around for well into the double digit seasons. So, you know,
I know, but they're there. They're only a few years away.
That's true, I suppose.
A few years. That's all it's going to take. We'll get there. Get there, buddy.
Someday.
We'll get there, pal. But yeah, you can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonshow.com. has this list. I break it down by season. You can also find links to our new episodes, downloadable streaming. Let's see, links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our Tumblr, even though I don't do much with it. But it's there. I tumble things occasionally, Simpsons-related things. You can find links to our RSS feed. You can donate to the show. Of course, we obviously appreciate that if you do that. And contact us through there, comment on the episodes, a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. What's our next episode, Matt? We've already mentioned it.
We have. I believe it is Radio Bart.
Radio Bart. That's a good one. I have fond memories of Radio Bart. It's a good Bart episode. You can find me online at Twitter. On Twitter at MixerMasterCereal. It's MixerMasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour at HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com or on iTunes, all those places. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him, and I emphasize, you will not find him.
That's true, but there is a dead drop at the Orlando Shakespeare Theater. It is in one of the theaters underneath a seat. If you find it, feel free to leave a small note or a flash drive with information on it there. I stop by there once every few months to pick it up, so it's not fast, but you'll get a message to me.
I'm learning things such about your life, Matt, that I did not know, and it's delightful every time.
Yep, security is very important, Robbie.
Very important. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.